because that song is very, very, very precious to me. I want to tell you why, but let me just... It's been a long time since I stood up here to bring a message in front of a crowd. It's got to be almost 20 years. And when the pastor asked me to do it about a month ago, I said, I thought about it for a bit, and I said, yeah, sure, I can do that. I can do that. And the reason I said that, told him to do that, because he is my pastor. He is the man of God that I respect very highly. And I know he wants nothing but the best for me. I know he's got to give an account to God for what he teaches and how he guides me in my life. So I respect that decision very highly. But when it comes down to this morning, I got a little bit nervous, a little bit scared. So, but God is faithful. He told me this morning, my friend told me this morning, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, always, having all sufficient in all things, might have an abundance for every good work. That comfort be me again this morning. So with that in mind, I'll try to do my best to present to you what the Lord has laid on my heart. And I trust that if I fail, I'll take the blame. If you get a blessing, that means God spoke to you. But this song, what a friend we have in Jesus. You know, when I think about a friend, a lot of questions like, friend, do we even know what a friend is? What do friends do for each other? What are friends for? And we sing this song, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. And that's just very, very precious in my eyes, in my view. You know, in Proverbs 18:24, it says, a man who has friends must show himself friendly. So when I sing the song about what a friend we have in Jesus, that brings me to a question. I must show myself friendly to him. And what all does that, what is he saying to me? I must show myself friendly back. If I want Jesus to be my friend, I got to be friendly back to him. That would include getting to know him. And that includes reading this book. But he says, in the last half of that verse, he says, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Wow. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. I consider you, basically, you all, some are closer friends, but I consider you all my friends. But this friend, Jesus, though you all forsake me, you stick by me every step of the way. And you can count on it, and you can bank on it. So what is a friend? Well, Proverbs 17:17 explains that. A friend loves at all times. That's what my friend does. What a friend we have in Jesus. He loves. He loves at all times. He'll rebuke me. He will encourage me. He will strengthen me. He does it all. What do friends do for each other? Well, Proverbs 27:9 explains that. It says, the heartfelt counsel of a friend is sweeter than perfume. You know, we all love to smell that perfume. It used to when we were dating. I remember those days. Oh, that, like that, that would just get to you. Boy, that would just make you smile. The heartfelt counsel of a friend. If you're a friend to somebody and you counsel him, God says it's sweeter than perfume. How can I improve my friendship? Well, Jesus says it this way. In John 15, 14, and in John chapter 15, verse 14 and 15. You are my friend if you do whatever I command you. Now you see, that might sound a little bit one-sided. I'm only taking you as my friend if you do what I tell you. But you've got to remember who he is. Remember, we're going to get into that. Remember who he is. And then in verse 15, he says this. He says, no longer do I call you slaves. Now, what is a slave? A slave has no rights. A slave is under bondage. He hasn't been delivered. He is a slave. He does what his master tells him. He's not a friend. And then he says, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. Now, Jesus is the master. You remember, he's talking to his friend. Jesus is the master, and he doesn't call them slaves anymore. He calls them friends. He said, but I have called you friends. And then here's the good part. And then he says, all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. That's what a friend does. That's what my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, that was his purpose. That's what he did. And where do I have it? Right here. Right here. So if you want to, it says a friend, if you want to have friends, you've got to show yourself friendly. That you've got to get into this book if you want to show yourself friendly, if you want to have sweet fellowship and counsel from your friends. He says, no longer do I call you slaves, but I call you friends. If someone was to ask you, write down on a piece of paper all you know about who God is, what he's like, what he has done, what could you write down? How much could you write down? Just out of your memory, from your heart. That's a good question. You know, that would tell you about what you know about your friend. Then he gets a little bit more serious. In Luke 12:4, he says, this is Jesus talking there. He explaining it. He says, and I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. And after that, have no more that they can do. Verse 5, and he says, but I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say unto you, fear him. Now that is what Jesus is talking. He's talking to his friends, and that's what he's trying to get across. What is he saying? What's he trying to teach them? I believe he's trying to teach them something that we have lost in our country. That is, have some respect for who God is, who his son is, and towards this, for this word. That's what he said, have some respect. If we have somebody, as a kid, when I grew up, I was taught to respect your mom and dad. There's a word in German that we had to call them. I couldn't call them. It's the word he. That means kind of like sir, higher up. Now we just say you. My kids just tell me, Dad, or you. So we've lost our respect for God. And I say it's not just the world, that's us Christians too. We have lost our respect for who God is, what he's like, what he's up to, and what he's going to do. Jesus said it this way, fear him. Nebuchadnezzar is a very good example of that. I would like to read you a couple of verses. Daniel, chapter 4, verse 34 and 35. But Daniel was trying to, but he came to Nebuchadnezzar and he said, hey king, Nebuchadnezzar was a wicked king. He captured and he wanted to be God. He wanted to be in control of everything. It might be very much of somebody that we have in our country as a leader. He wanted to be in control. And he was in control. And Daniel warned him, repent of your pride and your arrogancy, because God will humble you. And then one day he was up in the palace, and he looked over his whole city, and he said, wow. He big smile. He said, isn't this what my hands have done? I have built this great city. It is all about me. I want to read that. Start reading it in verse 34. After, this is what Nebuchadnezzar said. After, God took his mind away and drove him into the wilderness, he lost his mind and he had to eat grass like an animal. That was his lesson from God, because of his pride and his arrogancy. He had no respect for God. And this is what he said after he came out of it. In verse 34, after this time had passed, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven. My sanity returned. He was back in his right mind. And this is what he does now after that. And I praise and worship the Most High God and honor the one who lives forever. His rule is everlasting, and his kingdom there is no end. There is eternal. And then this is verse 35 is what he says about the people. All the people of the earth are as nothing compared to him. Boy, did he change his attitude. He does as he pleases among the angels of heaven and among the people on earth. He had to learn a hard lesson. He had to earn a hard lesson. That's a lesson I think would be well worth learning in our nation, and even as Christians. We need to develop that attitude, that same attitude that Nebuchadnezzar had after he had to eat grass for 7 years. He had to live like an animal. So when Jesus says, fear him, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell, I think that's right from a friend. Well worth taking. I don't think we should think twice about that. He has the authority. He has the power. So what is our problem in Canada? It's already, we have lost our respect for God, for Jesus, and the Bible. And then in Psalm 9:17, God says this, the wicked shall be turned into hell, many mansions, all and all nations who forget God. Now, if I was to judge our nation, that's just me, I would say we have forgotten about God. So what does that say about our nation? it's going to help them. If I read it right. That's if I read it right. So what do friends do? Well, friends warn each other about danger. Jesus does that. Friends encourage each other. Jesus does that. Friends love each other. Jesus does that. Friends counsel each other. Jesus does that. I would say he's a good friend. Nebuchadnezzar learned his lesson. He was not a friend of God before. He learned his lesson. But I want to tell you just a little personal note on this. Like Nebuchadnezzar, I too was once in trouble. And I had to change my way of thinking about who God is and what he is like. I was sunk deep in religion, and I too was in trouble. And to make a long story short, I'm going to put it like this. I wrote some paper a little bit there. It's just a couple of words. It's very short. It was like this, folks. I was in court. Jesus was the judge. I was the one that had broken the law, and I was guilty as charged. And the sentence for my sin was death. Oh, wow. Scared me. Then I cried out, Lord, have mercy on me, for I have sinned against you. Then it broke my heart. Then Jesus stepped down from the judgment seat and came to me and said, I'll take your place. You can go free. Wow. I couldn't believe my eyes. I couldn't believe my ears, what I was hearing. Then the officers came, they took him, and they crucified him in my place. I was stunned. I was dumbfounded. Wow. But he didn't stay there. The third day he rose from the grave. Oh, what joy filled my heart when I saw that he is Lord of all. Boy, what a friend we have in Jesus. And now I praise and worship the Most High God, and I want to honor the one who lives forever, because his rules are everlasting and his kingdom is eternal. And I repented and I confessed like I did. It's just a long story, but God saved my soul that day. And here's what he did after. I found this out after. After I accepted my Savior. And this happens, whether you realize it or not, this is what happens to every Christian, every person that becomes a Christian. First thing I realized, he has delivered me from the power of darkness and converted me into the kingdom of his dear Son. When I read that verse, I said, wow, that's a friend. That's Colossians 1:13, by the way. I said, man, you can't get it any better than that. He not only paid for my sin, but he converted me into the kingdom of his dear Son. Then in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. That was me. Wow. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And I recognize that. Man, I had a hunger for the Word of God. That's one of the big things that I realized that changed. I had a respect for God. I developed a better respect. And I had a hunger to get to know the God of the Bible. And then here's what Jesus says in John 6:53. It is the Spirit who gives life. the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. That's what he has written in this book. Remember, he said, "All that I know about the Father, I have made known to you." It's all recorded in this book. So, the Spirit, God's Word, is powerful. Then here's what he said. He said in Romans 8, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, then he says this. This is the scary part. Now, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I think that's where a lot of people are. Because you don't see no hunger for the Word of God. You don't see no change in their life. All they do is they believe in Jesus. Well, I have news for you. The demons believe that and they tremble. And here's what in 1 Peter 1:23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. You can't kill this book. And that's how I got born again. Wow. That's my Jesus. That's my friend. That's my Savior. That's my Lord. And so... Oh, yeah, we have to arrive ahead of time, just like Trevor was last week, okay? But anyway, okay. But there's a warning. That's that part. Oh, excuse me, I'm going to get dry. No, we're talking so much. But Ephesians 4:30 says, gives us another warning. Like Jesus wrote the book. And here he gives us another warning. He said the Spirit is life, and the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, and we belong to him. And here's another warning. He said, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That means I can grieve him. And how, the question would be then, how do I grieve him? He says, by that Spirit you are sealed. So he warns us very seriously, do not grieve him. So what can I do to grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, folks, that is very, very simple. You might think that's a complicated issue, but that's a very simple statement. Not believing. You don't believe. If you don't believe what God says in this book, and you know one of the evidence is you don't believe because you don't get into it. You don't take time out of your day to get into it, to get to know him. And if God's Holy Spirit is in you and you don't get into this book to find out who God is, what he's like, you're grieving him. I can guarantee you, I have done it. And it grieves him. You wouldn't be the first one if you do it, because I have done it. And Moses is a good example for that. I'll tell you a little story about Moses. What do you think of Moses? Got the Ten Commandments. He's a great prophet. He's called the friend of God. He's all of that. I am not diminishing that all. I have great respect for Moses. He was a man of God. But he was human, just like the rest of us. So he's a good example for us. The people, he was leading the people of Israel out of Egypt to the promised land that God had promised Abraham long ago. And God chose Moses to do it. But the people murmured and complained and griped because they were here, they were in this wilderness and they ran out of water. So they complained and they came to Moses and said, "We have no water." And this was this illustration here is actually the second time. It happened twice. This is what happened the second time. And God tells Moses, "Okay, go speak to that rock, and I'll provide water for the people." But the people kept on grumbling, and they kept on complaining to him, and Moses got angry. He said, he took his rod, and he said, "Must I go fetch you, you rebels, water?" And he hit the rock twice. God said, "Speak to it." But he wouldn't listen. He hit it. You know what? He lost his anger. He got mad. But when God came to him, let's pick that up. In Numbers 20, verse 12, I'll read you that verse where God deals with him. It's a wonderful story. And God said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the promised land." In other words, you keep reading the story. God said, "Moses, because you lost your temper, because you wouldn't believe me." God understood. He understood it. But he didn't. He said, "Because you didn't believe me, you didn't hold me up." Moses was never allowed to enter that promised land. God said, "You're not going in. You and Aaron are not going in." That's as simple as that. And Moses, actually, you read the story, he kind of begged, and he said, "Yeah, but I want to see that promised land." God says, "Enough. Don't talk to me anymore about that." And God will do that to us too if we don't believe. If we don't believe who he is and what he's like. For instance, in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, and I claim that word this morning. "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficient in all things, might have an abundance for every good work." Do you believe that? If you do believe it, you'll put feet to it. You'll put it into action. If you don't put it into action, that's indication you don't believe it. That's as simple as that. That's the simple. That's what belief is. Belief is, I believe this floor will hold me up to walk all the way out. So I take action to walk on it. I believe this chair would hold me up if I want to sit down. So I sit down on it. If I didn't believe that chair would hold me up, I'm not going to sit on it, whether I'm tired or want to sit. Don't matter. I've got to believe that chair is going to hold me up. So do we put action to that belief? That's what I was doing this morning. I believe God would give me the grace to do because that's what I asked you. I'm just about done here. But that song, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." Are you praying them? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Here's the reason. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. It's so real. It's down to the earth where we live. That's why it's so precious to me. Heavy trials and temptations. Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrow share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms, I love this, in his arms, he'll take and shield you. Thou wilt find a soul of that. What fellowship, what joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Let me just share a couple more words out of Romans that are very, very precious to me. Romans 8:34 and 39 says like this: Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. That's the Christian. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Wow. Yeah. I say amen. Then he, verse 38. I love that. And I say this with Paul. I've said it many times. I read it over. He says, for I am persuaded, and that's what I am. And that's where your comfort is going to come when you are persuaded. You have to be persuaded from God's word through this book who God is. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow, what a comfort. What a comfort. You know, they can throw anything at me they want. I haven't been tried in that. But that's the anchor I'm holding on to. Throw at me what you want. But I am persuaded none of these things can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. That's the friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. I love that. So my question would be, what about you? Is he your friend? Is he sticking to you closer than a brother? Are you showing your friendship back towards him by studying this book and finding out what pleases him? Or are you the one that wants, nope, I'm going to do what I want to do. Hopefully I'll have a chance to confess this before I die and go to heaven. I'll tell you. Remember what God did to Nebuchadnezzar. He can do that to you. He can do that to anybody. All things are possible that our Lord, that in Hebrews, he explains it this way, the writer of Hebrews, he says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. So I would just encourage, I want to encourage folks, you'll never go wrong. You'll never go wrong. You don't need an education. You don't need anything nowadays to serve the Lord. I am so amazed. The Lord took me from the lowest place, saved my soul, and I can be a servant of the Most High God. That just amazes me. I marvel at that. But that's our God. That's our God. I would just like to put an offer out there. I hadn't thought of it, just came to my mind. The one book written by John MacArthur, The Gospel According to Jesus. I can't read. I can't read books like that. That's just beyond me. I can't make out what it's talking about. I'm not a reader. But I downloaded it on my phone and I listened to it. I was going for a walk and listening to it. And it made a big difference in my life. It gave me such a more big appreciation of what this Jesus has done for me. So I ordered a couple of books just to give away. And I haven't found anybody that wants to read them and get the blessing from them. So I'm offering it to anybody, to you, that is interesting to get to know this Jesus more personally, and see what the Gospel According to Jesus. Come and see me. I'll give it to you. I got two books, so I can give it to two people, whoever wants to. But my goal is to be an encouragement and a blessing to all of you. Our time here is short, folks, on this world. Our time is short. Eternity is long, it's everlasting. Remember that when we fall into temptation, when we have trials, and when we get lost and we want to go do our own thing. Remember, this lifetime is short. Eternity is long. And I have never heard any people that didn't want to go to hell. Well, if you want to go there, you have to prepare for it. Make sure you're born again and that you have this Jesus as your friend. With that, I'll close, Trevor.